All right, dads, we're going to do like we did with Mom's Day. Oh, King's Kids? You can go, King's Kids. Dads, we're going to do like we did with the moms. Just the moms this morning are going to read this particular passage of Scripture out loud. And you know the drill, unless you're new with us, where you see it saying your name, that's where you put your name. Like, I say Ron, and then we go on reading aloud the passage of Scripture. For you who may be new with us, you know, when I first came to faith, and the two primary pastors that I have served under, they never made it really clear that this marvelous book was more than simply a book. When you read his words are alive, they're active, they're breathed out by him, and they're inerrant, and he has a message for all of us throughout this book. And so I've been adding my name at the beginning of passages, because it's for me. And then when you add your name before a passage, it is for you. So listen with your spiritual ears, Dad, when you put your name in there. And let's read this aloud, because he wants to say something through this passage to you, as he's been saying it to me all week long. So let's read it aloud. Ron, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Did we have like three men in the room? You know, men, I want you to talk like you do to your kids when you're ticked. Okay? Let's put some strength in here as we read the living word of God. One more time, guys. Here we go. Ron, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Perfect harmony, gentlemen. This thing that I'll speak more about in just a moment, this agape love that is not foreign to a GHCC man. This love, this agape love, is something that you and I are supposed to be living our lives in. In the book we call Ephesians, in chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, you might want to write it down. 5, 1 and 2. And there it says, I put Ron in front of it. Ron, therefore, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the kind of love, gentlemen, that we are to be expressing in our lives all the time. Our wives long to see this love being manifested through you towards them. Back in that wonderful book, Ephesians, in chapter 5 and verse 25, every time I do a wedding, this is mentioned. Husbands, agape, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, sacrificed himself for the whole of the church. This is what we're supposed to be doing, gentlemen. This would rattle the church all the way across America if we were to be doing it. Obviously, girls, you know that this love is to be manifested in you as well. But this morning, the Lord is speaking to the guys. He's trying to draw them out. He's trying to, through me, help remind them of what wonderful creations they are, what masterpieces he made them to be in this world, and especially in his family. These guys are custom made, one of a kind. And our Lord loves them and wants them to go forth and practice imitating him. Gentlemen, get it?
Got it.
Good. So this morning's message I'm calling, Dad, 5 ways to protect and maintain unity in your family. 3 essential questions are there. If you're new with us this morning, those essential questions I'm asking you to apply to the message as you hear it, as you're taking notes, so that the Word of God comes to life for you and becomes a blessing this morning. Because some of the things that the Lord points out to you can be rough. But his intent is not to pick on us. His intent is to grow us up so that we can be all the things he wants us to be in Christ Jesus, our Savior. So Dad, the message is for you. Granddad, the message is for you. Spiritual dads, the message is for you. Stepdads, the message is for you. And all of you who are uncles, waiting in the wings, who may one day yourselves become dads. Dads, we live in a time of tremendous challenge here in the United States. And we have great responsibility that has been afforded to us, that we are to live out. We are to put aside this feminist movement in the country these last 30, 40 years that call you some sort of toxic masculinity. Our Heavenly Father made you as men to be men. He did not make you to be a woman. He made men and he made women. He made us to be who we are made to be. So let me say this again. Dad, you have an enormous responsibility. Enormous. When it comes to protecting your family, through your thoughts and through your actions. Look at your notes. Here's a fill-in. The world has become more polarizing, causing people to take sides on a whole host of issues. We see this at home now. Sons of this generation, they're blowing off their fathers of the last generation. There is this not being able to get along. And it seems like we're being taught, instead of just not getting along and deciding, hey, we'll live out our lives and we'll have different ideas about things. Now we have people in the family hating each other. Hating each other because of what our culture and our society is saying the way we're supposed to live. And it could be that your dad is living like Christ and you want to live like America. You want to follow after that which is anti-Christ rather than that which is for the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand through single people that if one is a Democrat and one is a Republican, they won't date. And it's not that they are just, you know, you're of a different political party. I sincerely do not like you. What happened? What happened? Looking back at your notes, fact. Dad, you need to be in the home and guarding the unity of your family in and with God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that most men in America that profess to be Christians don't want to read the Bible. What's our problem, guys? What's our problem? If you find yourself being one of those, I'd sincerely like to know, if you are in Christ Jesus, why don't you want to sit down and listen to him? Why don't you want to hear from him? Why don't you want to go out and do what he says will be a blessing, not only to you, but more importantly, a blessing to him? What's our problem, guys? Someone once told me that if everyone in America were to pick up their Bibles all at the same time, we would have the biggest dust storm in the history of America. For God the Holy Spirit to move in you and your family, you need to be united, gentlemen, in God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have a good relationship with God, the Holy Spirit? You know? My prayer is that one day we will, each and every one in the church across America, be able to say, man, the Holy Spirit is, he's just great. He is awesome. He is wonderful to be with and to start my day with. No matter what's happening in our culture or around the world, we need to get ourselves, gentlemen, into the Word of God. Some of us actually don't even know when evil's around us because we haven't read about it in the Word of God, and so many else that we appreciate, even think are terrific people, are doing these things that are antichrist. Looking at your notes, remember what Father God told Moses to tell us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Now, when we read this aloud, guys, I'd like you to put your name in front of it, where it says, Ron, you shall love the Lord your God. I want you to join me. Put your name in front of it, and let us read verses 5 through 7 together, okay? Let's read it, guys. Ron, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Gentlemen, this is what your shepherds should have taught you very soon after you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This should be all part of your life. When he says, you shall love the Lord your God. He didn't say you might. He didn't say, well, maybe a lot. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. He's saying, you shall seek God's very best, greatest good at your total being, if necessary, expense. Gentlemen, get it? Good. This is what we were asked to do from the moment we came to faith in this marvelous, wonderful, warm, loving God that we call Abba, Daddy, Papa. He loves us so much. But so many times our kids they're coming into the world. And we don't sit down with them. We'll teach them all the stats about whoever's on the Dodgers or the Angels. But we don't teach them about the wonders, the goodness, the absolute terrific unconditional love of God. I mean, he's talking here about you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Not watching some other program. He wants you to be spending time with your sons and your daughters and talking to them about what he is like. That they'll grow up knowing all about him. They'll grow up wanting to know more about him. And when they look at you, Dad, they see him prominent in your demeanor, in your voice. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 17 through 18, it says here, Ron, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. You shall painstakingly, energetically pursue keeping the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and statutes which he has commanded you. And you, Ron, shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you. Boy, I want it to go well with me, don't you guys? Don't you? I mean, fellas, as you look around the San Fernando Valley, knowing that here it is the capital of pornography, not for the country, but for the world. I mean, is this before us not Sodom and Gomorrah? What was Sodom and Gomorrah like that we are not like in this valley, this city of the fallen angels? The fact is this, look at your notes. We're facing consistent, open rebellion against God's design. Look at your notes, Dad. We need to combat the woke left's outrageous attempt to redefine and destroy manhood and womanhood. The fact is this, here's your fill-in. The evil one, Satan, the devil, the dragon of old, his agenda that has become more blatant than ever in 2024. After all, do you think it's a coincidence that President Biden made his official proclamation of quote unquote National Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday this year? On Resurrection Sunday, National Transgender Day of Visibility. I don't think that's a coincidence, personally. I don't think it's a coincidence, looking back at your notes, that our society is trying to replace traditional descriptors of quote-unquote man and woman with pronouns like, quote-unquote, they and them. I don't think that's a coincidence. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, our Heavenly Father made this very clear. Why our country doesn't get it, why our so-called intelligentsia in all of our universities and political folks, I don't know how they miss it, but he says, Ron, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female family. Nothing else, nothing in between. Sin has altered thinking, that's for sure. But our Lord has created males and females. And that's it. That's it. Dad, the pattern is clear. We now live in a country that celebrates perversion all the way up to the highest office of the land. In doing so, Dad, Granddad, come alongside these younger dads. Let them know that we are inviting judgment from God upon us as a nation. And who has to bear the brunt of these consequences, of these perversions, Dad? Your children. Granddad, your grandchildren. Dad, imagine our children having to grow up in a society that has the following twisted values that I'm going to share with you. The first one is normalizing pedophilia by replacing the term pedophiles with minor attracted persons. Now, that makes pedophiles sound just like normal people. Just they have a different like, if you will. There's an acrostic that goes with minor attracted persons. It's called MAPS. It's an attempt to reframe this horrific deviant behavior as a legitimate sexual preference. This has all taken place under our noses, Dad. Encouraging genital mutilation by feeding children the insidious lie that switching their gender by simply swallowing a few pills or having a minor surgery while leaving out the permanent mental and physical scars and not telling about the potential of sterilization that goes along with this. And then there's the enabling of sexual assault. I can't tell you as a law enforcement officer how this disturbed me, having two daughters, and to know what these criminals do. But enabling sexual assault by allowing men to quote unquote identify as women, to enter women's bathrooms, which has led to many cases all across America of our girls being assaulted and raped. I thought this whole thing about the women's movement was to stop the degrading of women, and yet women won't stand up. I don't hear of Christian women standing up by allowing males who identify as women to enter restrooms and private spaces and traumatize and assault women in the name of transgender rights. And then, Dad, you ever go to a PTA meeting? This is what's happened because a whole bunch of dads haven't gone to PTA meetings. Sexualizing education with porn in schools, having pornography in the libraries. I used to go watch my little girls listen to stories over at Barnes and Noble. But never, but now they do. They have these folks who are transgender drag queens sitting there reading the stories to our children and our grandchildren. And in the classroom activities, they urge students to explore their sexuality and decide which pronouns feel right to them. Dad, granddad, stepdad, we've been absent from school and have not gone to share. Some of us have been afraid to go and share because we don't have the ammunition that this marvelous love letter gives us to go and talk to those people. Yeah, we might get thrown out because we tell them the truth. But who better to get thrown out than a dad that loves his kids? Looking at your notes, according to a recent U.S. Census poll, 18.4 million kids, more than one in four, do not live with a biological, step, or adoptive father in the home in America. What makes this statistic so alarming is that children in fatherless homes are affected in the following ways, Dad. There are four times greater risk of poverty. Two times greater risk of infant mortality. More likely to go to prison. More likely to have behavior problems. Seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. Two times more likely to drop out of school. And the list goes on. But there's tremendous reason for hope in the U.S. And it's found, Dad, in God's word, in our Heavenly Father's word. You see, Abba Father has a perfect plan for what a man's role is as a father. In the home and in his household, guys. A perfect plan. Consider my observation. I'm convinced that when we have the unity of the church in the book of Acts that we've been studying, we'll have the power of the church in Acts in our families. Then we'll be unified around one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:32, the Holy Spirit reveals to us now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. This is the first church, the first believers. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him or her was his or her own, but they had everything in common. So how can you maintain unity? when the surrounding forces are trying to tear it apart. Well, here are five ways you can protect the unity of your family from our culture and society. You ready? Come back next Sunday. I needed to prepare you guys for what is already out there and so awfully bad that you and I need to know the Holy Spirit's power personally in our own lives, and how he can help you as an individual overcome this evil that has been birthed in this country and is growing and growing. Because if you've noticed, the church has been silent. We've not stepped forward as mighty men of valor, courageous men and women, to come against these things that our country, our politicians have put in place. They are not following after Jesus Christ. They are following after the evil one. The church needs to finally be the church. Amen. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Abba, as we look forward to next week and helping us to more understand five ways that you can use us as vessels of honor to bring glory to yourself. Please, may we come and adopt these particular steps so that we can be men of God, wonderful men of God. And teach our children to be wonderful children of God. And to come alongside our wives and be a team that protects our kids and our grandkids. And that we enter into our neighborhoods and the places we work and the universities we attend, and speak the truth. Speak the truth, my Lord. Abba, your word says those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for your children. Proverbs 14:26. We need men like that today. Men whose strength comes from the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. When everyone else is racing for accomplishments and seeking approval, help us, Abba, to remember what matters most. Agape love, love for you, and love for our wives, kids, families, friends, communities, and even love for our enemies. You said our greatest The greatest thing that we can offer people is love. You said that our greatness is measured by how we care for others. Help us to give our lives away and learn what it means to really live. And on this day when we honor fathers, please encourage those who are struggling with fatherhood. Oh, Father, encourage them. Maybe they have lost their own fathers, are still waiting to become a father, or have a difficult relationship with their fathers or with their children. We trust that you are close to the brokenhearted and will comfort everyone who is hurting. We pray that you will give men the courage to follow you every day and be men of honor, to be strong and to do everything in agape. We offer up this prayer to you, Father, in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.